Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to Faking Movies. This is episode 21.
Uh-huh.
Joined, as always, with my dear friend, Zach. How are you, Zach?
Hey, guys.
Also joined by Johnny Giggles, my dear friend, Seth.
Hello.
What's going on, Seth?
Oh, nothing. I'm just a funny guy.
Just goofy.
Yeah,
just goofy.
You sure are. Well, so we're here, episode 21, back to the standard format after our second roulette challenge last week. I honestly don't even know who won.
It was me.
Yeah, it was Zach.
Oh,
thank
you. Arbitrarily. I'm still counting it, but.
Yay. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
All right. So, back to basics. Before we get started, I'm going to plug, as always, check us out on WordPress, Faking Movies, on Twitter, at Faking Movies, on Instagram, Faking_movies. And if you search us on YouTube, it's Faking Movies Podcast. Got some new videos up. And yeah, check it all out. Like and subscribe.
Yeah. Do it.
So,
please do.
Yeah. This week, we are going with Zach, and he is going to be doing a movie that I really like, Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so, this one, I've seen...
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I've seen the cover of this quite a few times, and the title is a bit alluring. I was always wanting to watch it, but never got around to it, and again, have no idea what it's about, so...
So, alluring, though... Like,
yeah, yeah, I don't know. I think, well, as I think it's from like 2000 or like very late 90s. I'm not sure, but great cast you guys gave me.
Yeah,
initially struggled quite a bit with this and then I think made it work. But so the cast, Kirsten Dunst, Denise Richards, Amy Adams, Brittany Murphy, Kirstie Alley, Allison Janney, American Hero. And Adam West, also American Hero.
Sure.
Yep. R.I.P. Adam West.
R.I.P. Adam West.
And Brittany Murphy.
And Brittany Murphy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Had some time to really come to grips with hers, but Adam's a little fresh. Yeah. But yeah, so notably, that's six women and one man, which is fun, I think,
yeah.
I hope.
I mean, there are very few men in this entire movie.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. So yeah, I struggled with this one a bit. I think I deleted like two entire write-ups before I eventually landed on this one.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wait, do you have the ideas for your other ones, like the one sentence summaries?
Yeah. I'd like to hear those.
Not really. They were like versions of this and just weren't as good, I think.
All right.
Yeah. I changed the main character a few times. But yeah, I kind of kept coming back to this thing. So, I was going to start reading and doing it really fast, like last episode. And then I realized I can be a person this time and just do it normal.
Were we all under time last time? I don't remember.
Yeah.
Seth, you went over egregiously for the last one, as I recall.
Huh.
But otherwise,
Seth
did
just did a regular movie for his last round.
Yeah,
last
it went 15 week. Minutes. It was very weird.
That seems about right.
Yeah.
Are you ready to jump in, Zach?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay.
Right.
Brittany Murphy is our main character. She's an extremely likable bartender, slinging drinks behind a dive-type bar with tons of patrons. This is our first scene. We just
slinging drinks and shooting winks.
That's precisely, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So, first scene, we're at the bar. There's a bit of lead-up. You get the idea that she's very liked, very likable. And then mid-pour, she drops dead on the bar, head thunking on the wood.
Aww.
close-up of her lifeless face, and then we smash cut to the title screen, big capital letters, drop dead, comma, gorgeous.
I think there's a comma. Oh, you've added some punctuation.
Oh, there's not? Okay, I thought there was.
I like that half stop.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's more of...
Sura.
Yeah, it's like an imperative.
It's a Sura. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, Lee. It's a Sura. Jesus.
All right. So title screen, credits. We Tarantino backwards to the beginning of our tale.
Oh, do you say 3 weeks earlier?
I think we just jump. I think we just do it. And it's kind of, I mean, well, it's we jump given. Back. Yeah, we jump back and she's alive, so I think it's implied.
I think it's fair to assume that your audience isn't going to think she got brought back to life through magic.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, there are all kinds of movies that do that, probably.
I mean, the title, Zach didn't say that the title of the movie was Weekend at Bernie's 3, comma, Drop Dead Gorgeous. Like,
if only.
Weekends at Bernie's 3, colon, Drop Dead Gorgeous. Colin of Bernie's a girl.
Okay.
So 3 weeks earlier.
Right. So we jump back in.
Title card or not, 3 weeks earlier.
Yes. Yeah. We jump back in. Brittany Murphy and Kirsten Dunst are on a date in the park. Brittany suddenly gets really weird and like stands up and is really awkward and makes them leave. And as they do, we see that she's sort of focused on Amy Adams, who does not notice her. Mm-hmm. And then so immediately we cut to a scene where they're together at a restaurant, clearly also on a date.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. We then see a series of scenes where she's also dating Denise Richards, Kirstie Alley, and Allison Janney.
Whoa.
Oh, and the other one, Kirstie
Dunst. She is really running the gamut, isn't she?
Yeah. All of the main female characters. Dating all of them. Yeah.
How does she have that much time? My God.
Right. Well, so she's a bartender, you know, like she makes good money and like, you know, has days off
plus
and whatever.
It's all in cash. So like none of the girls, if they got suspicious, could trace her credit cards or anything. You know?
Right.
Is that a thing you guys have done with people you've dated in the past?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
No.
I didn't realize that was a normal thing.
Bartenders make all their money in cash, so they don't have to. You know.
Yeah, I know, but okay, whatever.
Listen,
this comes
Brittany
up
Murphy,
a bit later. It's
I may not agree. I may not agree with her decision to string along so many women, but at least she's being smart about it. You know.
Okay.
Yeah she has been honestly. Yeah, she's been pulling off dating 5 people for a long time. Yeah. This goes on for a while. We do all the scenes where it's made clear that she's dating them all, but then they eventually all find out about each other.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, so Kirsten sees her and someone else on a date in kind of the same fashion, but like this time, you know, Kirsten's the one that's just like out and sees, you know, her and Amy Adams or something. She then starts following her, suspicious of like what's going on, and then realizes that there's all of these other people. So she sort of confronts them, and it's a little weird at first, but she slowly sort of befriends all of these girlfriends, eager to figure out, like, what the deal is. You know, she's just, like, confused and angry and, you know. So they all sort of commiserate as this now group of scorned lovers, and they can't believe that she's somehow pulling off dating 5 people at the same time. Like, as you guys know, this is, like, dating 2 people would be tough. I think 5 is inconceivable.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think the 3 of us can like easily declare that we're barely capable of dating a single person.
That's correct. Yeah. So,
very true. Yeah. She's very talented, this Brittany Murphy. So they follow her some more.
Oh my God, she was so talented.
She was great.
She should have been a bigger star. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, and her career trajectory was really weird too, because it was like Clueless in the beginning. And then she became like, she like escaped that, which I think other people from that kind of movie often don't. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, Alicia Silverstone didn't.
Was it Matthew Lillard in that?
Oh. No.
It wasn't Matthew Lillard.
Breckin Meyer was.
Oh, okay. Well,
yep.
Kind of interchangeable white dudes. So.
Minus like 2 feet of height. So,
whatever.
Hey, sometimes I do actually wonder. Is Breckin Meyer happy?
No, not never once in his life. No.
Yeah, what?
Really? Breckenmeyer. I also wonder that about David. I wonder that about David Paymer too.
Oh, I know that name. I can't put a face.
Yeah,
to
I don't know who that is.
Yeah. So I'd guess no in that case.
Two of
the show, David Paymer.
He's gonna hear this episode and be like, "Fuck, so close."
I thought I was famous.
Yeah, these idiots don't even know me.
Yahoos.
So they're all surprised to find out that she's a bartender, as she never told any of them, lest they come visit and run into one another. So she somehow kept that a secret too.
See, that's smart. Have you ever run this scam?
No, I just was thinking out, like, so as I was crafting this, like, five people dating the same person, I was like, what would be the issues? And that would be the one, obviously. So, yeah.
Okay.
They all keep dating her so as to not arouse suspicion. But they begin to hatch a plan of revenge. So they begin by planning to publicly shame her. And this is where enter Adam West, the final addition to the dating pool. And weirdly,
about Adam West.
Yeah, weirdly, the only man. He shows up late in the game at a thwarted attempt to group confront her at the bar. So they go to the bar and they find her kissing him over the bar as he sits and drinks. And go, who's this guy? Like, A, we thought she was into girls. And B, like, another one? Really? Are you serious? So now they're even more incensed. But they bring Adam into the plan as he's just as ignorant and sort of innocent as the rest of them. So, you know, he's one of them ultimately. So this is the last straw for them. As they continue to discuss her incredible audacity and explore their individual memories of this now shared life and sort of put all the pieces together, the plot slowly turns a bit more sinister. So they decide that she must pay, and they plan to go into the bar on a particularly busy night and enact their plan. So, skipping to the end, or maybe just kind of naturally getting to the end, we're back at the bar, back to the first scene. They sort of make a point to do the same shots. The camera pans around, and we notice that all of our main players are there, but unnoticed. Brittany dies and lots of shouting and chaos ensues. One by one, they get up and leave the bar before the cops show up. And as the audience, we notice that they all sort of shoot each other looks as they leave, but they don't sort of speak or publicly acknowledge one another. So they're making sort of an escape in this capacity. Yeah. So the camera keeps panning and we notice Adam West sits alone in a dark corner at a booth, incognito. So he then,
tell me there's a mustache involved.
Oh, yeah.
There's
like
at least
a mustache,
like,
and a trench coat.
Definitely a trench coat. I'm imagining
real
a trench coat
collar.
And like a hat and sunglasses. Like if you saw this guy in a bar, you'd be like, somebody call the cops. This guy's a fucking weirdo. Yeah.
I want that.
So he stands up and blends into the ensuing panicked crime scene investigation, which is when we realize he's a cop. There's a montage ending where it's revealed that he was the mastermind of the murder plot and all the other people were still only planning on shaming her. At a later location, they all meet up without him and they initially blame each other to try to figure out what's going on. But as he's the only one that's now missing, they realize it was him. So they figure she got what she deserved, in a sense, maybe a little too much, and vow never to speak of it again, sort of lest they be implicated in the whole thing. And then it's revealed that she was actually married to Adam West.
What?
A detail that,
what?
Yeah, right. A detail that he kept from the group of women, making him the most scorned, perhaps, and infuriated partner of all of them. And he then covers his own ass internally with the police and gets away with the perfect revenge. So that's my plot for Ocean's 14 or Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Yeah. Wow. That had so many twists and turns. That might have been written by me. Shit.
That was a real real Buddy Ebsen, Audrey Hepburn relationship.
Yeah.
You threw in there at the end. Yeah.
So that's
Hashtag Beefest at Tiffany's.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Turns out, let's pause the. Can we pause the podcast again? Zach, you're wearing a tuxedo T-shirt today.
Oh yeah. This is my it's my like paint shirt. It's got shit all over it.
It's your formal attire.
Yeah. I was out putting polyurethane on the deck table, so it's
Jesus Christ.
Paint shirt and gym shorts. That's how we do. Yeah.
Nice. I was gonna say I felt like for most of your thing we were gonna it was gonna turn into like a girlfriends kind of movie. It's like all these women get together and like, yeah, we've been scorned, but like we have more in common than we realize, and we're all gonna be friends and be better for it.
No, way darker. Yeah. Yep.
And yeah, clearly.
It reminded me a lot of, I think it was like a mid-2000s film with Brittany Snow, John Tucker Must Die, where it was pretty much a very similar sort of premise.
I remember that movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, behind the curtain, I wrote this entire thing, having, again, revised it several times. Turns out it's surprisingly hard to make, like, a compelling murder mystery. Like, it turns out kind of boring most of the time. Yeah. So
you really skirted disaster. I thought you were going to say, turns out it's hard to make a compelling movie starring a group of women. But,
No, seriously.
Come on, Zach. What are you talking about?
That's I never said that. No, it was actually really fun, but it's if you go murder mystery, it's just really hard. And so I wrote this whole thing, and then Erica said exactly the thing Seth just said. She goes, "Oh, you wrote John Tucker Must Die," and then I thought about it and was like, "Fuck." Yeah. So I don't know. It is what it is.
It's all good.
Seth, do you have the IMDb pulled up?
Yeah, give me 1 second, because... Oh, I closed it down, but I will have it in right now. Oh, dear. Okay.
Okay.
So, here is the one-sentence summary of Drop Dead Gorgeous, 1999.
Ah, okay.
Thought so.
So you're good with time frame.
Yeah.
Yep.
A small town beauty... Well, Kirsten Dunst
was in it, so...
Sorry. I was gonna say, like, pretty much a who's who of like early 2000s starlets is in this movie.
Yeah, like of almost famous and truly famous stars. Yeah, for sure.
I think so. That a lot of these people have had like wide careers, but Kirsten Dunst in her prime was Get Over It, Bring It On, and I guess this, and that was about a 3-year span. So
I love Get Over It as much as more than anyone. I know. But let's not refer to that as her prime. Like no one else thinks that of me.
Well, I mean, that was like temporally her prime. It may have been a dark spot on it.
Okay,
but,
it was during her prime. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Sure. All right. Sorry. Go ahead, Seth.
All right. So the summary. A small-town beauty pageant turns deadly as it becomes clear that someone will go to any lengths to win.
Oh, of course. Okay, wait, let me guess. The competitors are... age-wise, this dark territory already, but age-wise, competitors are Kirsten Dunst, Denise Richards, Amy Adams, Brittany Murphy?
Yeah, yes. And then a few other people. A series of other people that didn't really have major careers, as far as I'm aware.
So that was the problem when I was doing this. Like, it's inconceivable that Brittany Murphy would date Kirstie Alley, Allison Janney, or Adam West at any point in her life, based on a 30-year age difference. But
Allison Janney is a treasure, and anyone. Oh,
she's an American hero. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would date CJ Craig instantly. Yes,
that's true in this movie as well. Allison Janney is the shining star.
Oh, always. Yeah.
She among a bunch like several really good performances, she is the standout.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Cool. All right. Well, what's the deal?
Kirstie Alley. it's filmed like it's a mockumentary.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fun.
And there's this beauty pageant that is put on by a makeup company. I don't remember what the makeup company is called.
Sarah Rose Cosmetics.
Okay.
They didn't get a real makeup company. Ugh, wasted money.
It's kind of important later.
It plays into the plot,
And it takes place in a small town called Mount Rose. In
beautiful Mount Rose, Minnesota. So everybody does those Minnesota nice accents the entire time.
Yeah, it's rough. It is upsetting for the first part. It was very jarring. Sure.
Don't
I guess.
You know? Yeah, it was. We're just gonna go hop in the RV and get some Arby's.
Oh, I knew you were gonna say that. I knew you were going to say that.
That's too much. Why just would you put all that in one sentence?
I knew it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Kirstie Alley plays the head of the pageant, okay. And she won it when she was in high school, and now her daughter Denise Richards is in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and she would be the daughter. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And yep. They are the richest family in town, and they're like more or less the front runners.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Kirsten Dunst is the other main person that they follow, and she is like clearly the person who should win, but she's a dark horse just because, you know, the deck is stacked against her.
Yeah. Yeah. She's but like a James K. Polk character.
Ooh.
It doesn't take place in 1844, though, and I'm not so sure that the Democrats have ever been split in Minnesota. They are a fairly blue state.
I just think that Amy Adams bears a striking resemblance to Martin Van Buren, but
oh yeah, it's the sideburns, clearly.
I was just gonna say, wait, please tell me Amy Adams is like the charming, like actually reasonable human in this whole thing.
No,
she plays a cheerleader who is like the slutty girl, more or less.
Yeah, she's very promiscuous, and that is that's her major. Everybody has a major character trait, and hers is being the promiscuous one.
That seems very off brand for her. That's odd. Okay.
She's good in it. She's funny. Like she is funny with the things that they give her to be funny with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Brittany Murphy is like a minor player in this, then, I take it?
She's fairly major. She's pretty ditzy. Oh. Her brother is a drag performer in New York.
Mm-hmm. Whoa,
which she's always bringing up like how much she admires her brother, and then one of the big plot points is Kirsten Dunst's costume gets stolen for the talent competition, she needs one, and it needs to be approved by the pageant, and Brittany Murphy's like, you do it, because my brother is a better Liza Minnelli than I'll ever be, and like gives her a costume.
Yeah,
it's actually kind of sweet. It's a really nice moment.
That's fun. Okay. Cool.
Brittany Murphy, though, pretty much steals every scene she's in this movie.
Yeah. Mm. This was like pre her being like peak awesome, but I think this was probably on the upswing for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There's, I don't really know Ellen Barkin very well, but that plays Kirsten Dunst's mother.
Oh, yeah.
She's from Buckaroo Banzai.
She is in there, but like I don't know a whole lot about her as an actress beyond that.
Isn't she a judge on Law and Order, maybe? Could be making
probably everybody's been a judge on Law and Order.
That's true.
Yeah,
if you've ever seen one of my favorite movies, Eddie and the Cruisers, she's in that.
No.
If you've ever seen one of my favorite movies, Buckaroo Banzai, she's in that.
Oh. Still no.
You got me there. She's I know in that
Oceans,
one.
She's in Ocean's 13.
Oh, she
oh,
is.
Yeah, that's a movie I've seen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's always a mom character, though. Like, she's made to be a mom person.
Not in Ocean's 13 at all, but all right.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Fair enough. She used to be a bombshell kind of character in the 80s. Okay. That was her like role that she usually played.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's Kirsten Dunst's mother, and they're like, and the mother's best friend is Allison Janney.
And she is a treasure.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Always, yes.
Loretta is her name.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, and just lives scamming like, on all the dudes.
Lives like two trailers down in the park. And yeah, it's pretty wonderful.
Great. So where does West play into all this?
He is a cameo
at the very beginning. He's in the movie all of I don't know, maybe a minute, maybe. Okay.
Yeah,
I figured like that probably was like a threat. Like we've done this to each other before, where you throw a garbage cast member. Okay.
Yeah, we kind of had to shoehorn him in there.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
One of the opening scenes, the girls are watching the like orientation video for the pageant, and Adam West is a past host, and he's in the orientation video. Oh, that is it.
Yep.
I, I was kind of hoping we were going Coolio in this one, and he played Adam West, TV's Batman, if you will.
It's so good.
And he was like the crooner, like the host, but like he sang songs and he's like,
"Oh yeah,
gentlemen, Adam West, TV's Batman."
Like, yeah, that's more or less the role that he would play in the finals if we. Yeah, well, we'll get
But
there.
We never make it to the finals. Sure, yeah, there's a whole thing.
Okay.
So the issue with the... Because it's mostly about this local qualifying round.
Mm-hmm.
And girls keep getting murdered or horribly injured.
Yeah. Like a stage light falls on the girl. One girl is riding a tractor and it explodes.
that happens all the time.
The guy who liked Kirsten Dunst gets shot in the head while hunting. Like...
Yeah.
He's not even participating in this.
No. Nope.
Okay. Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. It seems like a lot of the things are aimed to undermine Kirsten Dunst.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's because it's Kirstie Alley perpetrating these things.
That seems so obvious. Like,
and we don't find that out till, well, near the first of three endings.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
they're maybe a little ending heavy.
Yeah, well, yeah. We'll get into how Return of the Kingy it gets, but
so Kirstie Alley being the baddie in this is like boring. Like, I feel like that's how I wrote my movie. Is like I made the obvious person the killer, and then I was like, it's stupid. And like, I don't know, you could have made it Alice and Janney, like, and then made up some weird motive, and everybody would have been like, whoa, shit, out of left field.
No, see, Alice and Janney is nothing but supportive and wonderful.
Well, oh, I mean, yes, pure. Of course.
Yeah. So, at one point...
Number two friend of the show, would we say?
Behind Time Lord Steve Zahn?
Cannot be unseated. Well, she'd be number three friend of the show.
Yeah. Oh.
Because Buscemi's number two.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Ooh. All right, we'll have to talk about this off mic. Okay. Currently number three. Fine.
One of the things to try to undermine Kirsten Dunst is her trailer is exploded. Like, somebody tries to explode her trailer. And does. And her mom is inside of it.
Shit.
She doesn't die, but she does have a Miller Lite fused to her hand.
Yeah. Oh,
okay, well.
So now she just has a beer can fused to her hand for the rest of the movie.
I mean, and that'll happen, yeah.
And spends more or less the rest of the film in the hospital. So Alice and Janney kind of takes over the mothery role and is the major support character for Kirsten Dunst.
So it sounds like, so do we as the audience immediately hate Denise Richards and Kirstie Alley? Like, it sounds like they just suck.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
The jump.
Yeah. You definitely do. Yeah.
All right.
But
her talent competition needs to be mentioned.
That was my favorite part of this movie. So like the talents
she's got this
wait so all of the talents are kind of shitty.
Sure. I mean, that's life, I think. Yeah
like nobody was doing a terribly good job, and I don't even understand what the girl who was adopted by Japanese parents 3 years ago was trying to do with that cowboy outfit, but
was just like her parents are very invested in seeming like they're all American people, so it's country western music.
Well, she's really dressed like a cowboy there, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to fire off my pistols, don't you know?
Kirsten Dunst.
She was line dancing. That's what she was doing.
She was line dancing, yeah, with weird pop guns.
By herself. That's always very effective, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Kirsten Dunst was like a tap, sort of, like tap dancing.
I mean, she looked like fucking Gene Kelly compared to the rest of them, but
that is very true. She did look way better than everybody else, but when we get to state, it's a different story anyway. But ooh. Denise Richards, awesome. Oh boy. Okay. So she sings horribly, and she's just up there on stage. She sings Can't Take My Eyes Off of You.
You're just too good to be true. That one.
Yeah.
She's wearing a full-on fucking 50s poodle skirt and sweater.
Yeah.
But the skirt is covered in sequins, so it's just blinding.
Yeah.
Yeah. To distract from the shitty singing, presumably. Yeah.
So
that's not the only thing, though.
Oh, man. Okay. Ooh. So as soon as she finishes the first stanza, onto stage comes a life-size replica of... Jesus on the cross.
Yep.
And she proceeds to sing to Jesus the rest of the song.
Yeah. And dance around with him because it's on wheels.
Yeah.
Several questions. Several questions.
And the arms are Velcroed to the cross, so she keeps like pulling the arms off to like hug her. And stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that within the bylaws of normal beauty pageants? I would guess no.
I bet it is. Props. Everybody gets a prop.
That's a song about romantic love, I believe. Yeah, so that's a weird situation.
Well, she introduces the song by sitting on a stool and going, "The rumors are true. I have a new guy in my life. I'd like to introduce him to you."
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's mistakenly wholesome, one might say. Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous.
It's wonderful.
Sure.
Yeah.
She like leans the cross over and is carrying it very similar to Palm Sunday sort of.
Yeah. I've seen those videos on YouTube. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh man. It is rough and was definitely my favorite part of this movie.
Yeah. So like fast forward, it's clearly the deck has been stacked because all the judges are like employees of Denise Richards' family.
Oh, yeah.
And she wins. Next day, they're at the parade, and she's on this enormous swan float.
Okay.
That the father had commissioned in Mexico.
Yeah.
And it seems explodes. Like an unnecessary detail.
Well, the entire movie, he has been very derogatory towards both Mexicans and Jews.
And women.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He has a run about Sammy Davis Jr. that is really upsetting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, in a comedic sense, I could see being derogatory towards women because of, like, it sounds like the socioeconomic situation in this town. Mexicans and Jews in Minnesota.
Yeah.
That seems superfluous.
He uses the verb pretty often to Jew somebody. So.
Yeah, he owns a furniture store, so he talks about that a lot. Yeah.
Anyway, so he had this float made in Mexico to save money, according to him.
And then shipped to Minnesota? You done fucked up, son.
Yeah.
That's a big old traverse that you
I watch American Pickers. I know how that shit works.
Oh, you and my mom are the two people who watch American Pickers.
The entire world.
Correct.
So it's, you know, a normal parade, which, man, in high school I had to do marching band in those fucking parades. It was a nightmare.
So, like, it goes down the 0.2 mile that is Main Street of this shit town. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the swan float starts to smoke, and then it just fucking explodes. Straight up.
And Denise Richards dies.
Yeah.
Dies!
Yeah, she straight up dies.
Whoa! Did not see that coming.
Christy Alley breaks down and is like, "Oh, like how could this have happened? I killed all of these girls so that you could have won my now deceased daughter."
Whoops! Mm-hmm. I totally gave away all of my murders. Whoops.
Yep. Huh.
Yeah. So that's ending number one. But now let's move on.
Kirsten Dunst is now the champion.
Yeah, because she got runner up. You see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she goes
so Denise, Denise did win, and then Kirsten wins by default afterwards.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So she goes to the Mall of America for states.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And there's this big seafood buffet.
Yep.
Oh, of course. Yep. Yep.
Yep.
And she is the only competitor who does not eat any seafood. That is very important.
Like everybody gets explosive dysentery except for her.
Well, like, I mean, I've been to the Mall of America. It's nowhere near an ocean, let's be honest. that's just common knowledge. Like,
there is a montage.
Oh yeah, jeez. It's just a veritable waterfall of vomit out of the side of this hotel.
Yeah.
Fun.
And there's like my favorite part about this is just scenes of the competitors like passed out on the ground, vomiting on the ground.
Yeah, it's
like,
true.
Like,
Weird.
One of the girls, one of the girls vomits and goes, "Did I win?"
All right, that sounds kind of fun, honestly. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So Kirsten wins because of that. Yeah.
She de facto wins the Minnesota competition.
Okay. So this is states.
Yep. So that's ending two. Well, let's move on.
I was gonna say, yeah, you, man. Like, I've not seen this movie, obviously, but, like, it feels like the town one could have been the ending.
Yeah.
That seems fun.
It feels like the state one could have been the ending, too, and you could have had, like, a short montage after it.
Certainly, yes. An epilogue,
And so...
That's a spoiler, because even after the third ending, there is a short montage.
Yep, that's true.
Okay. Cool.
Yep. So now we're on to the third ending, where... it's to nationals in, I don't know, like Atlanta, perhaps.
I think it was Alabama.
Alabama.
Or something like
All
right. And they, like, this bus full of contestants arrives there and finds that the makeup company has been shuttered because of, like, 30 years
tax evasion.
Of tax evasion. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's where it comes back. Okay.
Yeah. So the women proceed to just demolish, like, everything they can demolish. They're just, like, knocking, like, breaking windows and, like, knocking over signs and shit.
Oh, that's kind of fun, actually. I like that.
All right. Everybody but Kirsten Dunst, who's just like, oh.
Yeah, she just gets back on the bus all sad.
Uh-huh. Oh, bummer. Yeah. Okay.
So then we learn the like futures of these people. Like Amy Adams' character goes to beauty school and becomes a stripper. Kirstie Alley enters a prison beauty contest and comes in third.
Sure. Okay.
Then she breaks out of prison and goes on a shooting rampage.
Why not? Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In which point, one of the things about Kirsten Dunst's character is her dream is to become a reporter like Diane Sawyer.
Yeah. that's been her like goal the entire time because Diane Sawyer apparently won a beauty contest.
She was a beauty queen. Yeah. So the reporter at this, while the shooting is going on, gets hit by a stray bullet. And Kirsten Dunst runs in and grabs the mic, and due to her poise under pressure, she gets hired by, like, the biggest news station in Minnesota.
Ah, of course, yes. Naturally. That's how that works, I think. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 Cool.
And so then
all the good guys are happy.
Yeah. And then Kirsten Dunst and Frodo and Gandalf go off to the West.
Yeah. They sail away to the Grey Haven.
Yep.
Is this movie like a solid 150 minutes?
Oh, or God,
like,
I don't
do they smash this all into like a reasonable amount of time?
It's like 90 minutes long.
It's 98 minutes. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a lot of stuff for that amount of time. That's not
bad. Well, that was probably my biggest issue with it is like I had trouble taking notes to find funny stuff because scenes were shifting so quickly. There really wasn't a whole lot of downtime, right?
Yeah, they had about 120 minutes worth of material that they forced into 90.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, like, this movie sounds like a classic, quote, dumb early 2000s movie, and so, like, the last thing you want that to be is too long. So,
that's true.
Good on the editors for, like, smashing it all in.
It didn't make its money back.
It came very close, though.
Yeah.
Really?
According to Dr. Wikipedia Esquire III, the budget was 10 to 15 million, and it made back 10.5.
Oh, that's like nothing. Wow.
Yeah. This movie opening weekend in theaters.
As a, like, 13-year-old?
Yeah.
12. Yeah, 12-year-old. With my dear friend and future guest, Jim. I have some stray thoughts that I'd like to bring up during the pageant, like, so you have to be 17 to do the pageant, and Kirstie Alley gets to do a little like presentation during the about like, oh, remember when I won, and she gets introduced by one of her helpers and she's like, 17 years ago she won the pageant, and I'm like, so Kirstie Alley's character
Yep.
Won the pageant and immediately got pregnant and had a baby.
Yep.
Yeah. She's 34 in 1999.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the plot of this movie is even, it's even more like intense of living through vicariously through your children when you consider that she clearly got pregnant the night of the pageant.
Yeah. And then the dream was over, and then the dream is like, oh, my kid.
Yeah.
That's sad. That's sad, I mean, sad but real. I think, I mean, having watched like as few as possible, but still more than zero of these TV shows, I think that is kind of how that works, sadly.
Yeah, probably. Also, Seth, do you remember one of the contestants is like an actress girl? She's like,
oh, and she did a dramatic monologue from Soylent Green.
From Soylent Green.
Wow. Excellent choice of movie.
And she does the she does the my favorite thing in the world, which is she walks out on stage and goes, fade in, and then starts her monologue.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty wonderful in that regard.
Oh, man.
That's really all I wanted to bring up, because that stuff's great.
So there are some things that I want to bring up that were not so great. And
I was waiting for you to bring this up.
Yes. So, first one, one of the characters that shows up in and out is Will Sasso. And and at first I was like, oh, hey, it's Will Sasso. I wonder he's been doing. And then I was like, oh, it's Will Sasso. Because he plays a mentally handicapped person, and it is rough.
Whoa, boy. Like,
extremely mentally handicapped person.
It's really...
It's really zero tact and grace. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's mentally handicapped. Well. Mentally handicapped in a comedy is, or like a, I guess this is a dark comedy technically. I don't know. But in
it's
a comedy.
It's still not something that you would do now.
No. Yeah. Or you should have ever done. It's impossible to do.
No, Oh, absolutely. But like now, if you tried to put that in your movie, they'd be like, no. No, you start again.
Like, it'd be like trying to throw the dog in the river thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was
talk about Milo and Otis? What are you talking about?
No, Dog's Life, whatever that shit was.
Oh, A Dog's Purpose.
Oh yeah. That was a rough one. Oof.
Yeah. I guess we like dogs more than mentally handicapped people. I don't know. Yeah. Oh god.
One might even say A Dog's Purpose. Woof.
They might. I might.
Yep. The other things I wanted to say was we kind of watched this to win back Peoria, but I don't think we're going to.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we're going to.
That's a shame. I feel like we've been only shitting on them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Types. Yeah. Woof. Well. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Peoria. Sorry, moms. Woof. Sorry, Peoria.
Woof indeed. Christy Alley's husband / Denise Richards' father has this line where during the parade he just says, "Beautiful as a whore's ass today, isn't it, fellas?" And I was like, "Huh, that's a it's a really interesting way to describe the day."
Yeah.
Well. So you said,
and that guy is in a lot of stuff.
He is.
He's
a bad guy. I just don't know. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't really know who he is.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like. I mean, he was meant to be a shithead, right? But like,
yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, absolutely. But yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. Why? Okay.
There's a lot of making fun of people from small towns in this movie too, which.
Yeah,
you mean it doesn't feel like it was done out of love.
Mm-hmm. I'm suddenly not surprised that it didn't make any money.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, who are the people that see movies? People in small towns. Like, there's a lot of them.
That's a great point.
And they got nothing to do. Yeah.
Hey. Mm. The one other thing that so this is something that came from actually our guest next week because he watched the last half an hour of this movie with me.
So the two and three then?
yeah. When the swan erupts in flame, Daniel just yelled out, "Oh man, she just got wicker manned."
Oh shit, no kidding. True that.
Oh, that's really good.
It was that's pretty really amazing. Good.
That is great.
yeah. So Robert Ebert. I guess, oh, do you have something else before I talk about Robert
Ebert?
Well,
I was gonna say,
Seth just said the words Robert Ebert, and I can't wait to hear all that sentence ends.
Can't wait to hear about this new person you've never heard about.
Robert Egret?
Because his name is Roger.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, the guy who directed this movie, he was one of the people, he was part of the state.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Wayne, and David Wayne did all the directing.
Yeah.
No, it's a different person.
I was gonna say that would be crazy, Dan. Wait, who Michael was it in Patrick, the state?
Michael Patrick Jan is his name.
Yeah, three first names.
Yeah.
There's several of those in the state. Michael Ian Black and Robert Ben Grant, I think.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey. So speaking of Robert Ben Grant, Thomas Lennon is in this movie. He is the voice of the guy filming the documentary.
Oh,
another American treasure. God damn it, yeah. I love that guy. Okay.
So the director of this movie, he did The State, and him and Wayne kind of split director duties a lot on that show. Has not directed a movie since.
Yeah.
Well, that's telling, I guess. Yeah.
He does direct a lot of TV. To be fair.
Yeah.
Well, David Wayne's career has only been amazing since then. So,
yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, director of my favorite movie.
Yeah.
So, the writer of this movie has only written one movie since.
Oh, boy. All right. Real career stopper.
Boy Scouts Guide to the Apocalypse. It was like 2 years ago.
Not
I've heard
so
a lot
last...
of mixed things about.
It's not the last Boy Scout starring Bruce Willis?
No, it wasn't. This person didn't write the movie before this movie came out, and also it's not Shane Black. So
Time Lord, this writer guy, we don't know.
Yeah. Do you think he and Steve Zahn have like a blood feud for years and years?
Is this a pen name for Steve Zahn? Maybe he's moonlighting as like a shitty writer. Maybe
probably.
No, I don't think Steve Zahn needs to lower himself to such a level.
No, he wouldn't.
No,
he wouldn't.
No, he's a treasure. So and much like the director of the movie, the screenwriter has also done a lot of TV work. But it's just interesting that this movie that I really enjoy ruined the movie careers of two people.
Yeah, sure did.
That's rough. That's very rough.
Roger Ebert.
Oh yeah, what Roger Ebert said was that it was like
Jane said. Nope.
Okay.
I'm done with searching. Nope. Hard yeah. Nope on that.
That's a hard no on that one, Lee. I'm afraid.
Y'all aren't Jane's addicts.
No, no one is. Everyone listens to them at Lollapalooza because Perry Farrell does the thing. No one likes them.
Yeah.
No one likes them. Ever.
I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
So he said that the movie was very well written, but, like, just did not cut it in terms of performance or execution. Which I agree with. Like, there are some really, really funny parts of this, but a lot of it, I think, really misses the mark for me.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of really funny people in it, too.
Yeah.
And some of those people give great performances, but some of them, like, Kirstie Alley's performance could have been amazing.
Yeah, but true. It wasn't.
But it wasn't. Yeah.
I was gonna say, the cast is really good. So, is this up against something or whatever? Because, like, given the cast,
it came out in like I think July, maybe like late July 1999. I don't know what else was happening at that time.
Summer,
it was like one of those.
It was up against something. If it was summer,
yeah. I think it was probably one of those like this. There's nothing huge coming out this week, kind of things.
Yeah, but I'm thinking like Bring It On, and you know other. Well, I don't want to say Get Over It because that movie was a fucking abortion, but. Like the rest of
wowzers.
Fuck you. I'm gonna point this out again. We watched it together, and you said you liked it.
I was both hungover and drunk, and I was just like, I was in a. It was another fugue state kind of situation. It was a nightmare.
Yeah,
real diarrhea fugue state.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, like with this cast in like 1999, I can't imagine. And this is before Netflix and all that shit. Like, there's no world in which this doesn't make at least like 50 million. Like, yeah. I would think
it has a 6.6 on IMDb.
Which is not bad.
It's not even, I mean, it's only 28,000 people
have viewed it. So. Yeah. Still, though, like, 6.6 is reasonable-ish, I would say.
I don't know. There are a lot of stupid people that like stupid things.
Yeah. Yeah, fair.
Well, let's fast forward to the part in the show where Seth calls me stupid when I say
whoa,
that.
Whoa! No, no. What I'm saying is you're not going to rank this a 10 out of 10, and I feel like a lot of people do, and it really skews the statistics.
Oh, sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah, right.
That's what I mean. I'm not... Of course not, Lee. Come on.
Wait. We all do academic stuff. Seth and I do... human study stuff to some degree.
A little more self-reporting, science, you know.
Yeah, yeah, self-reporting is like a notoriously biased kind of situation.
Yeah, so, that's our major issue. That yeah. Oh, God, just social sciences yeah. sucks.
Yeah.
So should we get to ranking?
Yeah, I was just saying, let's do the thing.
Yeah. Lee,
okay.
What?
Do you want to go first, Seth?
Well. No.
Go at the same time.
All right, let's both say our number at the same time.
Okay, so Brandy wears a braid
chain. You're not gonna join me? I didn't know that's what we were doing. Made of silver.
We're gonna go at the same time. A locket.
That bears the
name. Okay.
Oh, the man the Brandy loves. He came. Okay.
Show us a Brandy.
You're a fine girl.
The singing saturation. All right. The singing saturation in these apps has gotten out of control.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Okay, I'll go first.
Okay, good. Yeah.
So, Zach, your movie. I wanted it to be something different.
Oh, okay. Oh. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. I don't think it was necessarily. Yeah, I don't think it was necessarily bad, but if I sat myself down to watch this movie and it ended up the way that it ended up, I give it a 5, bruh.
Yeah, ooh. No, that's fair. As I finished it, and again, this is like the best idea that this is like the same idea over and over again, but the best I could come up with was this. But even I thought at the end, I was like, this is like you watch it on a Wednesday on Netflix, and then you both go like, all right, you want to go to bed? Yeah, okay. Like that's kind of how that movie ends.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair.
Now, as far as real Drop Dead Gorgeous goes, I will fully admit that nostalgia is padding this a little.
Mm-hmm.
having seen it in theaters and then watching it a few times over the years, and friend of the show, former guest Jess, and I both really enjoy this movie, so we've watched it together and goofed on it. I'd say it gets. I give it a 7. It probably only deserves a 6, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. If Martin Short was in this movie, how would that affect your rating?
Can you tell me more about what Martin Short would do?
Let's say
in this movie?
He's like he's a very fey host. Elf
choir director.
He's just a random elf.
Yeah, and a very fey elf, and he has gum enhancement. Prosthetics?
Yeah.
How would you then
feel
about
that movie gets a 9, sir.
Yes, of course. Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Anyway.
A 9 out of 9.1 scale.
Ooh.
The old 9.1 scale. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Naturally.
Real Drop Dead Gorgeous, padded by nostalgia for sure, gets a 7.
Okay.
Okay.
So, as for me, for Zach's, I just love how many, horrible twists and turns at the end there were. I just love how needlessly complicated it got, which is definitely my favorite thing.
And yet again, for a second, I thought you were going to say something horrible. It's like, and for Zach's, I like how many lady kissings there are.
Why?
Well, to be fair,
I don't know why you would say that. Yeah. I don't think you really would, but
if you made a mostly lesbian movie in 1999, I don't think it would have made any money. Like, it would have been panned.
No,
hard. Probably even not. As a comedy, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Like, how could it make money without a leading man?
Yeah, more Adam West. Uh-huh. Give us more Will Sasson. Yeah.
So I'm gonna give it like a. I mean, as you said, it wasn't super interesting. So
yeah. Okay, fine. Yeah.
So it turns out that Seth still did it better.
I'm gonna give it a like a 6.6.
Okay.
And then as for the real one, like, it had a lot of funny points, and it's probably worth watching, like, with a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't my favorite. It's not as much as, like, the early films that we watched in this podcast that I just absolutely abhorred.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna give it, like, a 5.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you bring up a good point, though, Seth. Like, I feel like there was way more footage shot, and with a different editor, this movie is maybe incredible.
Yeah, that's I think it could have been it could have been really, really good if it had been given time to breathe.
Yeah,
but okay. There just wasn't a chance for that.
Yeah.
So
another interesting point: spooktacular October movies, notwithstanding. We haven't had, like, a real bummer in a while. Like, the first couple we did were so fucking bad, but we've had a lot of, like, pretty okay ones recently.
We haven't had, like, racist 1970s films, essentially.
Yeah. That's weird.
Maybe we need to get back to that.
We
need to get back to basics.
We gotta start picking more, like, wild cards,
When men were men and women were garbage.
And Jack Nicholson was like king. Yeah.
Well,
I like these movies better.
Well, I like watching them more, for sure, yeah.
But, like, they're not classics, quote-unquote, right? They're not. Yeah. They're not in the top 100 and things like that.
Well, I guess this is a good time. Audience, fucking suggest stuff. What do you like? Tell us the things on all of the things. Yeah.
We'll throw it on our sprawling list of movies that I keep adding to on a whim.
It's true. It's like 100 long right now.
It's 120. I think.
Okay.
It's bailing out a sinking ship. For every bucket we throw out, 10 more buckets fucking comes in. Yeah, it's bad.
And I am Mr. Bucket.
No, you're the ocean in this metaphor.
Okay, I was wondering how you're going to fit in the mid-90s really shitty game, Mr. Buckets.
Yeah,
and he has quoted, I played that game. Or his,
it's worthless.
His famous tagline, balls pop out of my mouth.
It was a... It was a pre-9/11 innocent world, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm Mr. Bucket.
Be different.
Balls pop out of my mouth, Mr. Bucket.
Boop! Yeah, there was like a...
Oh, man.
And then a boop.
Oh, there sure was.
All right, yikes. I feel like we need to wrap this up.
Yeah,
so,
let's do it. Next week.
Zach did it, it sounds like, just as good.
Yeah.
Right?
Or maybe a little bit less, yeah. Next week, we're gonna have Daniel on, and he's gonna do a wonderful movie, The Cell.
Cell.
Very excited for that.
Oh boy. Yeah.
So stylish, that movie.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that should be very good.
Got some J-Lo, we got some Vince Vaughn, we have some very confusing things happening.
Yeah. Very confusing.
Got a just peak D'Onofrio.
Yeah. Well, peak. I think all D'Onofrio is peak D'Onofrio, but
that's a good point.
Yeah,
yeah.
Even like current day or Full Metal Jacket, they're all good D'Onofrio. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Vinny D.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I don't want that purple stuff. I want that Vinny D.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Proud sponsors of the podcast, Sunny D and Capri Sun now. Just all the beverages. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, well, Seth did it best. I did it not so good.
Cool. Balls pop out of my mouth.